August 22nd, 2020 session of TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. My name is Dave, KV0S. This week I've been mostly doing some work stuff that I have to get ready. We have school starting next week, or university, and have to get some things together for that. A little bit of programming, a little bit of radio stuff, but not too much. Anyway, next on the list, we have Greg ZL3IX, shown as mic muted. And then we have Henry PA0HJA, shown as recording and away. And then we have Mike AA8K, shown as recording and mic muted. And we thank Mike for posting the TeamSpeak sessions to tsarchive.openhpsdr.org. Next on the list, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks so much, Dave. Good morning, afternoon, evening. Not much to report this week. I did do some RF work, and that was the little Victor network analyzer I mentioned in a couple of weeks ago has arrived, and I've been using that during the week. Very, very nice indeed. The display is a little bit on the small side, particularly when you're looking at Smith charts, but still quite usable outside. But there's a very nice, there's a couple of very nice PC applications that run with it, and they're very, very nice indeed. And I've been doing some antenna design and testing during the week, which was a lot of fun. So that's the news from down under. The weather's starting to improve, getting some sunny days at last, which is nice. So heading towards spring shortly. Back to you, Dave.
Well, fine business. And next on the list, we have Bill, KD5TFD. I hope Bill's there. Shows him his mic muted. There he is. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I'm here. Good evening. Yeah, nothing really to report. Same old. Just sort of swamped with work and all, so just turn it back to you, Dave.
Fine business. And next on the list, we have Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording in a way. And that brings us to the end of the list. So we're open for general discussion.
Thanks, Dave. I was going to get back to you during the week about DCC. Yes, I'd be happy to do a presentation, and would be able to do it live if we could do it early evening for me. Say, could even if first up, if that would be possible, then that would be I wouldn't be up in the middle of the night that way.
Okay, could you send a email to Steve Bible, and I can provide his email address for you. That would, he's the one keeping the actual list, and that would be helpful. A fellow Australian is going to, David Rowe is going to talk too.
Oh, very good. Excellent. Okay. Now, David's in, I think he's in South Australia, so he's hour and a half ahead of me. So he may want to go first. Okay. Yeah, if you could just flick me, you've got my email address, just flick me his email, and I'll do that today.
Okay, very good. Also, our friend Dave Witten's going to give a talk.
User disconnected from your channel. Very good. Oh, it should be very interesting.
It'll be a divergence because he's been working on magnetometers.
Oh, that makes two of us this week.
Well, they aren't a common topic at ham radio meetings.
Okay. I must admit, very, very pleased with this little Victor network analyzer for the price. The accuracy is very good. It comes with calibrate open short and load calibration adapters, so you can calibrate the thing at any frequency, and you can store the calibration settings in the file and download them next time you use it. But I haven't used it to do S21 yet, mainly just reflection, but I've had a number of commercial antennas to check during the week, and boy, it made the job really easy. So, yeah, very, very impressed.
Did you say what frequency range you're looking at with that, or?
Yeah, I'm doing 915 megs in the ISM band.
Oh, okay. And, is that a band for you in Australia as well?
Yep, we've got 9:15. Yep, it's not exactly the same as in the US, but it's pretty close.
Isn't one? It's 8:66 in Europe, isn't it? Or...
Yeah, 866 in Europe, and we're just slightly narrow and slightly lower than the US one, but there's enough coverage that virtually all the synthesizer chips I've used that cover that band, we can use on this frequency as well.
I see, I see.
But a lot of the new stuff seems to be coming up on 433 megahertz.
Really? A lot of the sensors and the like on 433, they're all sort of classic type things. Are you seeing new stuff there?
Yeah, a lot of the there's LoRa stuff on 433 here as well now.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Well, I don't know if it's the same in the US, but here LoRaWAN, which there's quite a lot of folks have set up LoRaWAN nodes at their home. So there's a map you can look at to see the coverage locally, but you're limited to very small number of packets a day.
Yeah, they've got similar stuff over here too. I've looked at it, but not in any great details. Actually, pile of reading. There's a six or seven part series of articles from a circuit seller on LoRa.
Bill, did you get an email from me about a Docker TeamSpeak?
And the right keyboard. Yeah, I did. I sort of assumed as much. I haven't looked into it all too much. I sort of figure if something happens to this thing, we'll get something going relatively soon. Either just, rent the server from somebody or host one, host our own somewhere. Probably leaning towards renting from somebody actually.
Yeah, I understand. I just wasn't familiar how much you use Docker otherwise, and but it looked like it'd be easy to spin up if you already had a cloud service provider.
Yeah, I do. I'm gonna use Docker plenty, although I actually don't use. We deploy lots of Docker things. We don't actually run it with Docker, though. Actually end up running with Kubernetes.
Well, yes, of course, because that lets you make replicates.
Yeah, to some degree, I sort of. I don't know. I have a love-hate relationship with Kubernetes. It solves, planetary scale problems.
Yeah, it may be overkill for three or four or six of us.
Yeah, I don't. Oh. Yep.
Although we do have planetary reach.
Yeah, but we don't have the need for room. We can treat our servers like pets.
I agree. Yes. But anyway, I was just looking around and I saw that and I thought, oh, well, that might be helpful.
Yeah, thanks for that. I haven't looked into it any. I really should ask one of my bosses about, hey, you want to donate some server time to a nonprofit? But I can't even begin to imagine the paperwork for that.
You never know, I guess. I doubt that we'd use up very much of their bandwidth.
No, yeah, it's a constant annoyance with me where we make it very hard for people to play around with our stuff on their own. And just it's something I might do just to pursue the point with, the powers that be.
Yep, it's like for the DCC, I'm going to be one of the tech people helping run Zoom and with George Burkett, and it'll be interesting to see how that side of it works.
You guys aren't actually hosting Zoom, are you?
No, we have a Zoom account, and George has been We're just waiting to see the subscribers, and he has where he can scale it up rather quickly. And we've been trying to get him to reply to us about being a not-for-profit organization, but apparently that is not a high priority to deal with that right now for Zoom.
No, I wouldn't think it would be. And I also, are you doing this on a weekday, or are you doing it on the weekday weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Friday, Saturday, and we haven't officially scheduled anything on Sunday. Phil gave one of the Sunday talks once, but Steve is working on the schedule, and it we have the list of people, but he hasn't completely finalized it yet.
Yeah, I remember Phil's Sunday talk. I was there for it, but I suspect with Zoom, well, Friday, I wouldn't try and get free stuff out of him on a Monday through Thursday, particularly after school start again.
Yeah, that's my class this year isn't that big. It's about 15, but we're going to record all the lectures on Zoom so that if somebody gets sick, they can keep track of it.
I see. Yeah, my office doesn't use Zoom. We use WebEx, but I suspect they're all pretty pretty busy these days.
Yep. And you know, it's like any new tool. You're learning what it can and can't do, and what's easy and what's hard. Say, Phil, all they want from you, about is a recording and your slide deck and anything else, any other materials you would like to provide, and that's uploaded, unless you want to try to do it live.
If the time frame's reasonable, I'd be happy to do it live, yeah. But I can do it either way.
We are strongly encouraging people to record, and then if they have the ability to be there, then they can answer questions while the recording's playing.
Okay, is there a specific tool to use for recording?
What we're recommending is to make a slide deck, open a Zoom meeting with yourself, and then just give your talk, and it'll have a little thumbnail of your face in the corner. And then when you end the thing, you have to turn on record, and when you end, it'll process the file and put it in a place you can then get it and send it to us.
Okay, what about if it's necessary to edit?
It's not much to edit in Zoom. You could probably edit. It's an MP4 that comes out, or you can just create an MP4 yourself if you want.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, if that's the requirement, that's no problem. I can do that.
So it's pretty simple, and we paid attention to the SDR Academy guys and QSO Today people and what they were doing, and tried to pick out the better things of each session.
Great, thanks, Dave. No problem at all. I've got a reasonable video editing suite here for doing commercial stuff, so I can use that.
Yeah, and just the MP4 is what you need. So
no problem.
Shoot for about 20 minutes. It's a 30-minute slot, but like many people, especially Scotty, he puts more slides in than he can cover in the time frame.
Okay, no problem.
So, Bill, I'm back to doing some QT programming, which is an adventure and kind of a memory probe.
Oh, Lord, I haven't done QT in ages.
Well, I haven't used it for about 5 years, and it took me a while to get back to it, and of course they changed all the libraries when they went from 4 to 5, and it still works the same from building the program, but if you have old 4 code, it's a pain to figure out how to get it to compile.
Oh, that's just fabulous. So what's got you back to that?
Old programs that I need to have running, and both at work, and I figured while I get my brain in gear for it, I'm going to update all or recompile and make sure all the OpenHPSTR stuff works.
I see.
So one of the test programs I was playing with, is because it's pretty simple, was the old Griffin program.
Which program?
Griffin. It was the one that encoded the string you would need to put into the Penelope or Penny program that you made for the Alice set.
Griffin. I didn't realize that was that name's that. When I said Griffin, I'm thinking of the tuning knob.
So it was basically a whisper program, and we had to, you know, take a call sign and a grid square and a power and encode that in a binary string. And so basically I wrote a little program that did that. And then you may have done it by hand, but anyway, that was something I did. So I was actually playing with that little program because it's simple.
Okay, yeah, and I remember doing the coding thing. I think I wrote that little Rex program, actually.
I was trying to build something for people that wanted to do it. I don't know, Phil, was there something called Griffin that we never fully finished?
Yeah, it was the GPS, the original GPS locked frequency reference.
Oh, okay. Anyway, it was one of my first programs I volunteered for this project, and it was kind of fun to go back and look at it. By the way, Phil, John Ackerman has been doing some interesting GPS work, and he's going to give a talk at DCC as well.
Oh, very interesting. I remember reading something recently about the I think it was on the RSGB technical chat channel, whereby some of the rediscovered the sawtooth variation of frequency of the GPS settings, and I remember a couple of guns nine W2GPS. I can't remember who that was, but he actually found that many, many years ago and rectified it. So it was interesting to see that resurface.
Yeah, wasn't that Rick?
What's Rick's normal call?
I thought that was his call, W2GPS, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's his call, yeah. Yes, I just worked with him when they were looking at Griffin, goodness me, years ago now, but he just found that feature of the periodic sawtooth changing frequency, and found a way of rectifying it for his commercial products.
Well, he's still doing the commercial products, and he was sitting in on some of the Tangerine talks for a while, but then I haven't seen him for several weeks. But he has an interest in what's going on there. But John Ackerman is taking the lead on the GPS and the oscillator, and then he's going to use that as a time stabilizer, or a stabilized frequency.
Oh, very good. Very good. I've just got your email. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, good. So I get email from him all the time, but it's usually through a list, and it took me a while to find an actual email address.
Okay.
I had told Phil that you were interested, so he's aware, but he doesn't trust anybody till the actual author contacts him.
Okay.
Sorry, I think I got that backwards, but I had told Steve. Well, guys, I think I'm going to head off and go do some things with the wife, so I'll say 73. And Bill, I hope you keep your head above water.
Yeah, we will. It's actually getting the system we opened up a year and a half ago, we're tearing down in a little bit, so it's sort of interesting.
Hopefully not too frustrating.
Nah, there's a little bit of that, but it was always known as a stopgap until bigger and better got out the door. So bigger and better is getting out the door now.
Well, that's good.